W2BL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2L repeater. This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2L repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
WTVLC. WB2CLC.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
KA2GC.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
HR requesting a radio check.
At station looking for a radio check. Come on back to your call sign. We'll be happy to help you.
KA2 LAB. Doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Craig is the name. Westbound on Sunrise en route to Babylon Yard.
Very good, very good. You're coming in nice and clear. Name here is Anthony. Currently at the base QTH. Actually working, but on my lunch break right now. And figured I'd take the opportunity to test out some equipment and changes.
Well, you're sounding pretty good, and definitely making it well into the machine. I'm currently going in through Middle Island, linked up with Selden and Glen Oaks. I'm actually now using Middle Island more than Selden, because I'm actually getting a little bit of better feedback. So that's the repeater that I use from this point onward. And then as soon as I hit Nassau County, I flip-flop and go over to Glen Oaks.
Ah, okay. Very good, very good. What did you say your location was right now?
Currently westbound on Sunrise, approaching exit 50, just passing Bolero and the old Ruby Tuesday here. Now some kind of radiology place.
Ah, okay, very good. Well, coming in nice and clean. Just got delivery of a Yaesu FTM 500. Got it all hooked up and programmed, and figured I'd step out onto the roof while the weather's nice out. Get the antenna up about another 5 feet.
Okay, well, it's a pretty nice radio. I'm working with an ICOM 2730 dual band and a Kenwood CMV71A for use with scanning all the public service out there, including my lovely railroad that I work for.
All right. Well, I myself am in the railroad industry. Probably a little different from what you do. I'm on the IT side of it.
I assume you work for the MTA or you work someplace else? And I assume if you're working from home, that must mean that you're teleworking.
I actually work for a, I don't know if you would call it a subcontractor, more of a construction company that only deals with railroads throughout the U.S. and Canada. But since COVID, I've actually been home full time, so I've got pretty much the entire office worth of equipment here at home in my home office, so I'm all pretty much full time from home.
Ah, that's nice. It's nice to work from home, even though some people usually have more time out of their hands to do more things because you got to focus more on work and you're on your computer usually for 8 to 10 hours. So, unfortunately, it can be a little stressful, especially if something goes on in the house and you got to take care of it. Then you got to step away and do all that stuff, and it's kind of tricky to focus on work.
Yeah, you know, it's actually not too bad. I've learned to adjust. Thankfully, the company that I work for is very flexible, but not to mention I also put in the extra time, you know, the extra couple of hours every day. I like it. I know there's a lot of people that are against being home by themselves all day. You know, a lot of people like to go out, interact with people. I'm fine here by myself.
Generally on the MTA, some office jobs you can telework from home, which usually is only done like maybe once a week. They did a lot of that stuff during the pandemic, but now more people are coming back to the offices. You look at some of the places, some of the rooms in the Hillside Correctional Facility that I did work at permanent until I bidded a temporary Babylon Yard job. Let me tell you, it's dead in the water. A lot of people have retired, and more offices are getting moved around, and a lot of stuff is empty. And we call it the correctional facility because it's a prison, since that's what it is. I love to joke around with my friends about it. I like Hillside, and one of my friends that owns the Babylon job that I'm covering for might have gotten foreman or something else, and so the job has to go up permanent. So I might soon be getting a phone call that I'm going to get booted back to Hillside mornings. I currently work 2 to 10 Babylon Yard. And that's very nice because I can literally access it in 15 minutes. 82OGB Mobile, going through the Oakdale Merge.
KA2, LAB for ID. Yeah, no, that sounds like, 15 minutes sounds like a pretty good commute to me. How long does it normally take you to get into Hillside?
Generally about 45 to 50 minutes. One time when I did an advance last week before another nice little snowstorm, I actually drove in. And then, with permission from the foreman, I ended up leaving early since I have to make it to my straight time shift and just blasted down the expressway to get all the way to Babylon in time. Usually when you do an advance, you're allowed to leave early, but if there's a time where you have to leave early or clock in late, you have to let your manager and crew know so they can secure a time release for you, because they correct your time. But remember, straight time always takes priority over any kind of overtime, unless if it overlapses. If it overlapses to a certain point, then your OT, you have to do for at least 5 hours, then you do your straight time shift, so that you would have to go in late. The most important thing with straight time shifts is you have to show up on time, and so they encourage you to take the train. If it's late, all you got to do is get the train number, and it's not on you.
Yeah, I would imagine the if you're taking the train, and they're covering the time on that, so yeah, it's actually a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah, when I worked Jamaica one time, 412, doing some of the office stuff, I always took the train. I never drove to Jamaica. And certainly driving to Jamaica is not a smart idea, especially with all the stuff I have in my car. No thank you.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear that. Definitely hear that. Yeah, I bet parking is also a little bit of a problem in that area over there. It's very heavily congested.
Yeah, I've driven to Fort Wash. I've driven to Hillside. Hillside is very easy to get to. I generally would discourage, if you work a 7:30 to 3:30 shift in Hillside, driving in the morning is easy, but getting out is insane. You're in, like, wall-to-wall traffic for, like, an hour and a half to 2 hours. When I owned a yard job and a temporary relief chief job, I drove in a couple of times, and let me tell you, getting home was a nightmare.
Yeah, years ago I used to work for a marketing company, and, you know, we'd have those occasional jobs in that general area over there, and, it's a nightmare. Actually, anything within the boroughs, commuting in either direction, in my opinion, is a nightmare.
Yeah, even Babylon is tricky to park in, but now I'm able to park under the trestle easily in the evenings. It's usually more people that come home, they take their cars out of the trestle. But what I usually like to do is I like to try to park as close to the waiting room as I can, generally in one of the roped-off areas where the ticket office would be, and then I literally can just detach the chain and then just drive out of there. And also, when I do snow duty in Babylon, I don't have to worry about getting bombarded in the snow. So that's usually why I like to pick Babylon.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. I mean, if you're able to do it, why not?
There you go. Yeah, we've had a couple of decent snowstorms, some decent snowy weather, and I've been happy to sell my soul to do snow. I did an overnight tour in Hicksville about a month ago, and we had quite a scare. Come on, you can move over. Thank you. We had quite a bit of a scare there, which I don't feel like discussing a tenth time on the radio, because it was just a whole big thing to do. But luckily, we were all there, spotted it, and we took care of it, so it was nothing really that major, but it was pretty scary. And then the next two times, I did Babylon in the morning, and I did Hicksville again in the morning on one of my relief days, and then went right to Broadway Mall afterwards. This, I believe, was last week I did Hicksville for snow duty in the morning.
All right. Well, definitely sounds like a pretty pretty sweet gig to me. But with that, my lunch break is just about coming to an end, so I'll have to wrap it up now. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. I'm sure I'll catch you on here at another time. 73, have a good rest of your day, have a good rest of your week, and I will be clear on your final. KA2LAB.
Yeah, Roger. Unfortunately, I just got another scare because I almost just got sideswiped by an ambulance that decided to pull out almost right in front of me, and I'm not happy about it. 73s, stay safe out there. KA2OGB Mobile, Brentwood Road, Bayshore.
I would recommend you put the radio down while you're driving.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2KNH, KD2OGB Mobile.
Hey, where were you yesterday? KD2AKX.
AKX, hey John. Was at Broadway Mall all day, why?
I didn't see you at the Hamfest.
Wasn't that one an outside one?
No, it was inside, Levittown Hall.
Ah, oh well. There's always another one that I could go to. No big deal. I'll probably be at the board meeting and the general meeting, actually. I booked a PD for the general meeting since it's right after my vacation. If I get back to Hillside Mornings, I'll actually remove it because then I could just work half the day and not have to burn the whole day for it. I just got some gas. I'm on my way to Babylon. Unfortunately, right before, though, I almost got sideswiped by an ambulance. Amazing how stupid people are these days. People just pull out and they don't notice that you're literally coming up to them.
Oh well, what are you gonna do? Well, the next one will definitely be an outdoor one.
I'll see if I can maybe try to tap into the info net tonight at 8:30. I don't think I'll be able to. If only I could put a Bluetooth to my ear, and then just listen to it that way, but last thing I need is for an overnight IG or FRA to see that, and then I get hammered, so no thank you. I'll just play it safe.
Craig, well, I'm coming up on my next stop, so 73, catch you later.
All right, thanks for checking up on me, though. Yeah, I would have been happy to go to Levittown, but there's always another day. See you later. KD2AKX, KD2OGB Mobile, Bright Waters, West Iceland.
Mark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
N-2-F-N-I, N-2-F-N-I from K-A-2-Y-H-Y. Have you heard K-A-2-Y-H-Y is listening?
K-A-2-Y-H-Y.
Try it again, station. Didn't come through.
Echo 2, Charlie, Zero, Victor. Is that any better?
Yes, sir, CHV. Very good. Name here is Steve. We're in the car here on Southern State Parkway.
Nice to meet you, Steve. This is Michael. I'm working from home today, and figured your call was a good excuse to turn away from the screen. How are you doing?
Well, very good, Michael. Yeah, I was doing the same this morning. Now I'm out to do a couple chores. So, what a beautiful day out. Feels like a spring day, no question about it. Spring.
Yeah, this is the first day I've actually been hot in the little room that I work in at home. And I stepped outside, and my gosh, really, yeah, spring is in the air. I love it.
Yeah, there's two little piles of snow on my block. Very small, but still there. I'm sure they're going to be gone by this evening. But anyway, I'm on my way to one of my first chores, a couple more miles. But other than that, I'm just enjoying this day. My God, it's beautiful. It'd be a good day to go fishing if I didn't have to go to work.
Yeah, I hear that. I need to find an excuse. Well, I guess I don't need to find an excuse, but I should just get up and go to a park or something for a little bit. And compared to this weekend, it's great. Where about are you in terms of where you're driving to on the southern state?
Eastbound, just about passing underneath the Meadowbrook, which I'm going to take south.
Oh, very good. Okay. I'm not sure if I said I'm over here in Rockville Center. So you're actually heading towards me, depending upon which way you go and to get off.
All right. Very good. Well, it's the first time I've heard you on the repeater. Good to make your acquaintance, and thanks for answering my call.
Great chatting with you as well. So I'm a fairly new ham, and I've been on the repeater only a couple of times. And this seems to be the most interesting of the local repeaters. I'm currently on an HT, so I can't really get much beyond that, though I did recently pass my general as well.
Well, very, very good. Welcome to amateur radio, and the Limark 2-meter repeater has a very good coverage for HTs just about anywhere in Nassau County, Queens, and you have a great signal, good audio, loud and clear, no problems. What kind of an HT are you using? K-A-2-Y-H-Y.
KHD, it is that little Yaesu FT-60 that's been around for 100 years and that everyone has.
Oh, very good. Everyone except me. I don't actually own any Yaesu radios, but I know they're quite good. So, sounds good. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. This is a Kinect Systems mobile radio. Dual band and dual mode.
Oh, that's really nice. So do you use that exclusively in your car, or do you use that as a base station, or do you have a separate base station?
No, this is exclusively in the car. I do have another one I can set up in the house there, but when I have time to play radio from inside, I usually go on the low bands.
Yeah, I got you. What sounds do you find are the most interesting these days?
Did you say what band's the most interesting or what mode? I didn't hear that quite clearly.
Well, I said bands, but actually both would be, you know, I'd be interested in hearing both or either.
Well, you know, the, of course, 2 meter, 440, those are the bands I operate on in the car. On the low bands, I like 15 and 20. My antenna is tuned for them, but when the sunspots cooperate, 10 is very good. And, you know, on the low bands, I pretty much will go with sideband voice, although I do want to get back into CW. Haven't done it in many years. And I do have a reader and an encoder, so I don't have to get the speed up again, but I could still use the mode.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, I've never touched CW beyond playing around with it in this educational app on my iPhone. But actually, 10 meters is what I'm most anxious to play around with once I get a upgrade my radio, just because, like you said, the sunspots seem to be making that, you know, interesting to see these days.
Yeah, well, it's uphill from here. I think it'll be uphill for about two and a half years before it reaches the peak, so you'll have plenty of time to set something up and see what it's all about. You know, it's not only 10 meters, but 10 meters is relatively easy to get on. Modest equipment, modest antenna, but the other low bands are also very interesting. And again, you know, if you're not running an awful lot of power, you got to wait for the sunspots, the conditions. When the conditions are right, you could work the world with 10 watts. You could actually do it with less than that if you have really good conditions. But you don't need much when Mother Nature cooperates. And with that, Michael, I'm going to say 7-3. Again, thank you for picking up the call. This is K-H-Y-H-Y, and I'll listen out.
Great chatting with you. Enjoy the weather while you're out for your chores. And looking forward to the next time.
KD2REK, KD2AKX.
32AKX, 32REK. Hey, buddy.
How are you doing?
I'm good, pal. Thanks for asking. I hope you're doing well as well. Just going down into the valley in, I guess, Oyster Bay, but I'll be coming out in a second in case I get crackly. Oh, way to, my office. Got to do a job there.
I'm coming down the hill and over here at the complex in the gym.
Where are you, Kansas?
I guess it's the Knolls. I'm over here at the Knolls off of Glen Cove Road.
I was just over there. How you doing, buddy? How'd you do yesterday?
I did good. Did good. Yeah, got rid of a lot of chunk.
That was a nice crowd. That was fun. A lot of people.
Always is. Always nice to see everybody.
Yeah, right, buddy? I agree. Oh, how many you got left?
Done. I'm going home.
Good. I got one left. Fisher Paykel. This drawer. Flooded.
Better you than me.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Drive safe. Talk to you soon, little buddy. KD2AKX, KD2REK. I'll be clear on your final.
Catch you later, KD2AKX.
KD2KH for the appliance net. All right, did both of you check out already?
You're coming in all scratchy, Charlie.
on and off Little Island. Should be good. Kind of strange. I got an appliance question for you.
Yes, just barely make it. I'm over here in the downtown Glen Cove. In the hall.
All right, I'm hearing you well. I just kicked my power up to max. I got a power connection question for a four-wire to an electric range. The neutral has a bonding strap that goes to the frame to a ground screw. Should the bonding strap be in with the four-wire, or does that get pulled?
The ground wire goes to the bonding strap. The white wire goes to the middle terminal.
I had no problem with that. It's just that the ground also has a strap that goes to the neutral, or directly below it. But in the diagram on the schematic, it shows it without it. No information in the install manual.
Doesn't matter. New York electrician code here in Long Island, the ground and the white wire neutral are the same wire.
All right, just figured I'd check when I got one of you guys on, because, I mean, a three-wire works the same way. Shouldn't matter. Anyway, I got the wife a Thor range. Hopefully it's a decent brand.
D2AKX. Yeah, if you follow the white wire and the ground wire back to your bus panel and the electronic control panel where your circuit breakers is, you'll see that the white wire and the ground wire are all tied together. New Jersey, they're separate. Out of state, other states have open float grounds, so your neutral is a floating neutral, and your ground is ground, but not here on Long Island.
Yeah, codes. Yeah, I noticed in the box that everything is, you know, neutral is grounded to the box, and so is the ground, so I don't understand the code to separate them. All right, I guess I lost you, but thank you. KD2KNH clear, 73, guys.
No problem, Charlie. KD2AKX, we'll be listening.
WB2EAV.
K2KND, did you mount that panel meter yet?
I haven't even turned it on yet. I've been too damn busy. I did open it up. I did look at it. I did go on the website to figure out how to hook it up, but that's as far as I got.
It's a cute little item. It has a whole bunch of those. It certainly makes for an interesting panel, but that's one of the things that he found a little niche in. I guess he's got amps and volts and a bunch of other stuff. Anyway, I was going to try to make the meeting last night. Again, just like to show my face once in a while, but we took my daughter out to dinner last night. Anything important go on?
No, not really. The biggest issue is there seems to be a shortage of adults available for summer camp. I said depending upon my situation, I definitely will be available for 1 week, maybe even two. But, you know, the Scoutmaster is not available either week. So that is a bit of an issue. And to discuss, we've had problems with low turnouts at camping activities lately, and we were discussing that, and it turned out due to lack of interest and a large required financial investment, the March campout up in Westchester, northern Westchester County, was canceled, and we discussed alternatives, and it was a bit of an issue. I said, you know, why don't we just go for a nice day hike one day in March, I'll beat it. And we decided to go around West Bulls Park, 5 mile hike. So I think a week from this coming Saturday, you know, like about 10, 12 days from today. Let me let it drop on one of them. And I emotionally beat Jason's youngest son to a pulp over the wording of what this Eagle project is supposed to be. And I concluded with, remember, I'd much rather the committee beat you up than the Eagle boys. And the more we beat you up, the higher chances of surviving your first contact with the Eagle boys.
Yeah, that is part of what you said, my hearing. Jason, is he working where he's not able to go to the camp? Because obviously it's always nice to have your scout mask to go. But besides you, what about Kevin and some of the other younger members?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see it being a big problem. I'm far more worried about how many kids are going to go because I'm not sure we had that large a youth turnout. I'm more worried about that than the leaders.
You don't expect it in the kids necessarily, but I think like everything else, people just don't want to go out and do things. It's been 2 years of, a real malaise, and we see that in our meetings, although, at least we got up to like 20 or 22 at the last meeting, but from years back how many people would attend the meetings. And Zoom doesn't help, but of course with scouting it's a little different, but I don't know. And maybe it's the program. I think in the scouting method, they allow the kids to choose the program, but sometimes adults perhaps have to intercede and say, you know what, we'd really like you to do this and do that. I don't know. I don't think any of us knows the answer. K2KNB.
I definitely have issues with the program. But in the program's credit, I've been trying in vain to change it, but it hasn't changed. So what used to work is not working, and it's possible it's not because of what I'm worried about. But I don't know, the bottom line is too many of them seem to be leery about actually doing things, which is beyond frightening. We're not talking about having them do ridiculous things. Like, when something like going to West Hills Park or Shift to run around in the woods too much, that scares me.
Yeah, perhaps it's a matter of getting some of the parents who don't normally participate, get them to go out on a day hike also and, see what goes on there. I always go back to when Bob was the scoutmaster, the training that he could give the kids was lifelong. My kids absolutely benefited by the experience of being with Bob. But going back, and I guess maybe even in the time that you've been in the troop, the fact that we'd go on an overnight and it was going to be cold, and part of the training was that Bob would teach the kids, as I'm sure you do also, what's necessary to take with, when you're in the cold, things about, changing clothing as you're getting into the sleeping bag. Don't be in damp clothing when you're trying to sleep in cold weather. I mean, all that training is so valuable. And it was pulling teeth to get the parents. So how many times do we have a hike and a parent would call and say, oh, it's too cold, I'm not sending my kid. Well, that's part of the experience that he's learning, and he's in good, safe hands. So I think that's part of the problem, too. You may have parents that are a little too cautious at this point. But the other thing, and I know we may disagree on this, but I could never understand in a troop like ours that had three ham radio operators that you couldn't convince the scoutmaster. In this case, it's Jason, but previously, really goes back a while. But don't forget, Ken was a scoutmaster. Ken was a ham, you were a ham, I was a ham. We certainly could have done a nice program for the kids, and nobody has an interest in it, whereas other troops clamp for it.
Not really. Other troops make an attempt and it goes nowhere. Maybe one or two kids show interest for a while. No, we've been there and done that. I can assure you. I have brought up the subject
multiple times. Other people have brought up subjects like that multiple times, but there is zero interest. Then you got to know when you're spinning into a headwind. And as far as the big picture is concerned, I have a long-standing problem with the truth. That it's when I was a kid, and early on in my tenure as an adult leader, you know, when my son was a scout, it used to be the patrols were like columns that you would have an experienced scout as patrol leader and then different levels down to the newbies. And as time went on, the column would bubble up to the top, and after a few years, the former newbie is now the highly experienced patrol leader. And you had a constant mentoring educational scheme. But then Boy Scout National changed it. Apparently, some kids were coming in out of the Cub Scouts and demanding that they stay together or they're out of here. And the Boy Scouts basically gave in to that extortion. And ever since then, they're adamant that when I propose changing it, you know, I'm deemed, you know, a heretic and insurrectionist. But now you have kids as a patrol bubbling up who know nothing, and then they learn nothing, and it continues until they become leadership where they haven't learned how to lead. And if you had to pick one problem, I think it's the biggest one, and it's endemic ever since the Boy Scouts changed that patrol from a vertical orientation to a horizontal orientation.
Yeah, obviously I've been actively involved in things like that for a while, but yeah, that makes no sense. It was always a move up the ladder, in the same way that you would go through the ranks themselves, but yeah, definitely leadership. You'd be you take on a role. I think I may have been the troop scribe, you know, one year. I probably was an assistant patrol leader, but then in our case, our seniors moved on to an explorer unit, which changed things around a little bit. But yeah, that's how you learn. You see how leadership goes, and you get into a leadership role, and yeah, it's sad that they don't do that. But again, I think that's the times, you know, it's like everything. Everybody wants everything without having to work for it. That's a pretty important thing.
Everybody always wanted everything without having to work for it. The difference was, before they weren't getting it, now they are. There's the problem. No, but, and the funny thing is after they put in that rule where they let the Cub Scout then come in as a Boy Scout patrol, the retention stayed the same. It didn't go up, it didn't go down, so the whole thing in my mind was a total exercise in futility. And we are seeing the results of the problem. Terrible mistake. I'm doing everything I can to counter it, but there's a limit to, you know, what I can do. I do what I can. So, you know, I'm just at a point where I try to help out where I can provide the most help. And I don't waste my time banging my head against the wall where no matter what I do, I'm getting nowhere with it.
KTKMB. You know, I always relate back to when my son was 18, and I think he went on, I think he was going on the last canoe trip with the troop, and it's one of the times that I went. And as I said, and again, believe me, I know you're a great scouter. Bob was unique in a lot of things that he did. So the kids that were canoeing or even rafting, they were trained, you know, didn't what their age was. Once they were on their second canoe trip, they were well prepared for what they were doing. So I'm in a canoe with my son, and there might have been someone else with us, and it was an interesting situation because in that particular case, my son was far better trained than I was in how to deal with going over the rapids, what to do if you overturned, and a whole bunch of other things. And here I am as an adult, taking every order that my son gave me because he knew what he was doing. And that's the difference, you know. Everybody everyone today is running around like a chicken without their head, the parents, the kids, everyone. And it's, you know, it's certainly not good for the program. It's not good for growing up.
Back in 2014, I took the troop, I led the troop, on the last time we went for the Delaware River canoe trip. And it was tremendously successful. And a number of the other adults, most notably the late Doug O'Neill, and I were pushing hard to get it on the program again, and the kids had zero interest in it. Then I think it was like, let me put it this way. Being in the back of a canoe with my son in the front going through the rapids as a team, that my son and I are a team. We eat as a team, or we fail as a team and go into drink. That was a tremendous building exercise that has positive repercussions to this day, decades later. That was a bonding experience like none. And Doug O'Neill pushed as hard as we could and got absolutely nowhere. And then when he passed away, I just gave up.
Yeah, when I went, there were several parents who participated. And so they would be in a canoe, usually with their sons. If their sons were at that point where they could take some control. But usually there was an experienced canoer with someone who might be new. And of course, you know, from a safety point, everybody's wearing life vests also. But, I didn't realize it's since 2014 that they haven't gone canoeing. That's a shame, you know. And I can imagine parents saying, well, it's May, it's cold, you know, it's June, it's cold, you can't send it. But that was a great experience, you know. And as I said, it was cool at night. So, learning how to sleep in a sleeping bag appropriately and change your clothing and things like that was really important. It's an important lesson in surviving many situations. So I'm kind of surprised that they haven't been able to do it. And that's what I'm kind of saying. I wonder whether you're able to intercede and say to kids, hey, get out of the concept of the kids planning it and get more into the idea of this will be one of our official events. And that will be canoeing on the Delaware this year, sometime in June or whenever it is.
I understand your point. When Doug O'Neill passed away, it was a milestone to me on multiple levels. Of course, it was the obvious one. It was devastating. It was like when WA2CGL passed away. It was the same thing. It was devastating. But there's another point, another dimension. I'm not getting younger. And at that point, I decided to paraphrase a famous line from a movie. I'm getting too old for this nonsense. And I refuse to be Don Quixote de la Mancha tilting at windmills when if they actually called my bluff, not that it's going to happen, I might say, maybe I can't do this anymore.
It's funny, you bring up Don Quixote, because I was talking to someone yesterday about Dorian Gray. You know, I'm looking for the portrait up in the attic there, but I haven't found it yet. You know, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you do have an option. Canoeing, I think, might be a little more taxing on people of our age, but rafting might be a little bit easier. And we had times where we had combined whatever somebody was more comfortable with. But, you know, I fully understand. Even from the point of view of hiking and carrying stuff in, you know, it's much more difficult. But you do it because you love it. But somehow or another, we just don't get some of those points across. Because the same thing applies with amateur radio, you know. You get the response, why do I need amateur radio? I have my cell phone. Well, go talk to AT&T about cell phones working all the time. So, I don't know. Definitely a problem.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One, the troop has gone on whitewater rafting trips where you have much higher rapids, but you go out with tour guides. You're basically a passenger. You're not a participant. You're a passenger. And I have not gone on those. That's on several planes that one bothers. So they have done that. But there's an element of, you know, oh, and backpacks. Every year since 2015, I have led the troop on the Treasury, which is a practice backpack. But we've never gone the next step to a real backpack. And I don't know if you know Brian Zeno, he was Scoutmaster of Troop 205 for a long time. When I couldn't take it anymore, I called up Brian and I went backpacking with them.
Yeah, I again, I missed part of what I said, but I think you're saying, I know you were trying to do something with him, correct? I missed part of what you said there,
yeah, I've gone backpacking in Troop 205 a number of times, and the aforementioned late Doug O'Neill and his son Ian went with them slash us a couple of times. So, you know, Brian, Doug, and I were like the three musketeers. And 205 is still going backpacking, but they have this annoying habit now of only taking dates like Rosh Hashanah and Thanksgiving weekend. There's no way I'm going. And I told Brian, and just shrugs his shoulder and says, I have no say anymore. I'm not the scoutmaster anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. Usually you try to avoid that conflict, but, you know, maybe it has something to do with the nature of the particular troop there also. But things like that are a shame. And again, you know, when you look at the, the universal nature of things today, kids are into smartphones and they're into games on the phone and computer games and things that, you know, you wonder what their life experience is going to be like. But then you see what their life experience is like. They had a girl, I think she's just a recent college graduate, and they said to her something about, what was she looking for in her future? And she said, I think I should be able to earn about $200,000 a year. But the problem is, all of the interviews I'm going on, they want me to work 5 days a week. You know, and you and I look at that and say, whoa, where are we going with that one?
Yeah, I understand. It's a real problem. It's a real problem. Meanwhile, you know, I told you that job I was doing evaporated, and I'm looking for something else, and I'm not getting anywhere. Sooner or later, if things keep degrading like you think they are, they're going to be desperate enough to consider me, but apparently that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I know you like to, well, actually, you like your last two jobs. Man, what happened to the one back on Deer Park? Did he ever call you back again?
What happened was, from day one, I said to him, I can give you what you want. I'm worried about the market. And unfortunately, I was absolutely right. And it reached the point that they had a working unit, people who knew how to use it, and the customers were few and far between. And he said to me, look, we're not bringing in enough money to support the, redesign. No, I was working on a refined design based on lessons learned. Says we're not bringing in enough to pay for an upgrade. Now, if things suddenly improve, I do have one unit, and I can scrounge together a crew, and if things are looking promising, I'll give you a call, but that never happened. The other one, it was the more recent one, they wanted to update this same product. They felt it was time for a refresh. But the team wasn't really put together so much as felt together, and I was low man.